Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm just waiting for this music to start. Oh, dear. The computer is acting crazy. Anyway, we will not have any intro music today. But welcome, 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 everybody, to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're just a little bit late today, but better late than never, right? So many things happening this week in the news and in the gospel news. The days of lies and poses, right? That's the name of the program today. And we have so many liars out there. They pose as ministers of the gospel, but they're no ministers at all, really. They pretend to be ministers. They take Bibles and they use Bibles as props to enrich themselves and to promote their own agenda, but not the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's for sure. So, but today we're going to talk about a few of the well-known posers and con men, con women. As some of you know, we're celebrating 500 years of that the Reformation happened 500 years ago, and that's going to be in 2017. So 500 years ago, Martin Luther, he put up a thesis, his 95-point thesis that he hung up on a church door. And he was protesting mainly the selling of miracles, the selling of salvation, the selling of indulgences, which the Catholic Church believes that when you die, and maybe if you weren't good enough to go to heaven, you can go to a place called purgatory, and that you could pay the priest to say masses for you, and you could basically pay your way out of purgatory. But of course, we know that Jesus paid the price for our salvation, that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And so we don't need to be buying people out of purgatory or praying for the dead. We can't pray for the dead. I had talked to somebody last week, and a Catholic person, and somebody died, and they were telling me something about saying masses because, as they stated, we could say masses and maybe I could help that person get to heaven faster. Well, I said to the person, well, you can't get anybody to heaven, and you certainly can't pay for masses to get anybody to heaven. You know, people still believe this stuff. So here we are going into 500 years after the Reformation, and we still have so much reforming to do as far as the gospel is concerned. So I'm going to read something to you here. There was an article in a paper from Nigeria. So I get these Google alerts, and if you sign up for these Google alerts, you could put in people's names, like you could put in Mike Murdoch, or you could put in Paula White, or Rod Parsley, or whoever. And then whenever there's a story about them on the internet, you'll get these alerts. So I got this Google alert the other day, about Mike Murdoch, and really it was priceless because now he's going to Nigeria. And there's a picture of him in a white dress. Now, even Mike Murdoch is wearing a dress. Now, imagine that. So he's wearing a white dress, and then he's standing next to this is called this group there in Nigeria, Aladura, I think is the name of the group. And the women all wear white, and they wear these little headdresses. And the head of the group now, if you could believe this, he calls himself His Eminence, yeah. I'm going to bring up that story because it was too priceless, really. Now, could you imagine calling yourself Your Eminence or even expecting people call you that? But anyway, this guy here from Nigeria, Dr. Rufus Okikiola, His Eminence, the Most Reverend, of course, that goes first. He's the Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Arch-Province of Nigeria and the Primate of the Church of the Lord, Aladura Worldwide. Oh, my. And then there's a picture of the guy here. And the website is www.aladura.net. And you can see a picture of this guy here. And he's got a little purple cape on and a little apron, and he has a dress on, too. So, and then there's also their history, and there's a photo gallery. Anyway, Mike Murdoch has hooked up with this group. I guess things must be pretty bad in this country. So now Mike, he has to go to Nigeria to fleece people. He's going over there now to fleece people. But you say, now who has money in Nigeria? But here's a story. It's supposedly a Christian newspaper from Nigeria, and it's NAIJA churchnews.com. Okay, so the headline is Richest Pastors in the World and Their Estimated Net Worth. Okay, there's 10 that they list. 10 of the richest pastors in the world and their estimated net worth, and it says 5 are Nigerians. Now, you wouldn't think so, right? You wouldn't think that 5 of the richest pastors in the world are Nigerian. Okay, the number one pastor that they list, number one, he's a Nigerian, Bishop David Oyedepo, O-Y-E-D-E-P-O. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right. But now they say his net worth is $150 million. $150 million. It says he is the richest pastor in Nigeria and the world. He is the founder of the Living Faith World Outreach Ministry. Ever since he founded this ministry in 1981, it has grown to become one of Africa's largest congregations. He hosts 3 services every Sunday in the Faith Tabernacle. This prosperous pastor owns private jets and homes in the U.S. and the U.K. Oh, dear. How did he do that, really? How did he do that? Here's a picture of him smiling and clapping. Yeah, I guess so. All right, so then the number two person that they have as of the 10 richest pastors in the world is Pastor Chris Oyakhilom. I can't pronounce his name. This guy's on television. I've seen this guy actually on television here. Oyakhilome. It says that his church is Christ Embassy and has more than 40,000 members, several of whom are successful entrepreneurs and politicians. This pastor's diversified interests include magazines, newspapers, a TV station, a record label, hotels, satellite TV, and real estate. How do you think he got all that? How did this guy get all that? I would say that he probably got all this from collecting tithes and seed faith offerings. Oh, dear. Now, like I said before, we're into the 500 years after the Reformation, but have things changed? Maybe a little bit, but not much. For any of us that have ever been to Rome, and if you've seen St. Peter's, and you see you go inside and you see paintings on the ceiling by Michelangelo, you see these statues by Michelangelo, these things are priceless. And the Catholic Church supposedly has a football field worth of artwork underneath St. Peter's that they just store under there. But they have museums full of very valuable paintings. They also have one of the world's greatest libraries in their basement, which is not open to the public. But and then someone was telling me the other day, they said, well, when my husband died, I donated a chalice, which for you people that don't know what a chalice is, the Roman Catholics believe that they put a wafer in the chalice and Jesus lives in the wafer. So she said that she donated a chalice after her husband died to these poor Catholic missionaries somewhere. And I said, well, why did you do that? The Catholic Church has so much money. Why would the Catholic Church ever have to take up one offering for the poor and needy when they could sell one of Michelangelo's pieces of artwork that probably would fetch billions of dollars and they could feed probably the whole world if they had to sell their priceless art collection that they're storing in their basement that people don't even see? People are ridiculous sometimes. Why would anybody want to donate money to the Catholic Church? They have so much money, and it seems like I'm going to play an audio clip too here of Rod Parsley, because Rod Parsley, he always needs money, but he claims that you won't need money if you tithe and sow seeds. That's why you have financial problems, is because you don't tithe enough and you don't sow seeds. But every week he's asking for money, every week. And I'm going to play the audio from Sunday where he was asking people to help him fix his sign because he brags that the sign outside of his church, he paid $240,000 for a sign. And then he brags and he says, "You see that camera that you're looking into? That camera costs $75,000. Oh dear!" And he says, "And we paid cash for it." Yeah. Well, how did you get the money? Every week he's begging for money. So obviously, all the seed sowing he did and all the tithing he did didn't help him meet his needs, because every week he needs something. So. But that's how dumb people are, because they go to church there and they go to, Catholic church, and they believe it when they have to take up offerings for the poor. And Rod, he has to take up offerings for his lights and his cameras and his air conditioning, and because he doesn't have enough money. But yet, in the same service, they were telling the people that if you give and you sow seeds, then you'll have all your needs met. And then people can't figure it out. The people that are sitting there every week, they can't figure out that. Well, wait a minute now. Rod doesn't have his bills paid. So if he doesn't have his bills paid, then how am I going to get my bills paid just because I give money over here? Well, they can't figure it out. No. The other night I was watching a documentary, and it was really creepy on CNN about these this cult leader, and he claimed he was God, and he could show people the light and the way and all that. And these grown up people, professional people, some of them, they followed this guy, and the person who made the documentary actually was in this cult, I think, for over 20 years, following this guy who claimed to be God. And the man, every member of this group that joined, he would personally have a session with them where he used hypnotherapy, because he claimed to be also a therapist where he could help people. So his game was, he would get them alone. He would find out their weaknesses, their innermost secrets, which when people go to psychologists or go for counseling, they usually say things that they wouldn't want someone else to hear. So he would find out their weaknesses, their vulnerabilities, and then he would hypnotize them. So these people stayed hypnotized for years, and they basically worshiped this guy who, if you look at the guy, they didn't have to tell you he was a homosexual. He dresses up in drag at one point, and but the people in the group, the hypnotized people, they couldn't tell that he was a homosexual. They thought he was God, and he was beyond having these sexual feelings for people. Well, they found out later that he was seducing the men, and that he had seduced almost all the men in the group. And when they found out that he wasn't really God and he was really a pervert, they were devastated because they idolized this man. And so it ended up that they started leaving the group when they found out he was a homosexual. They were angry and upset, and they were upset at themselves. But it's the same thing in a lot of these churches, that people go to church, and all the pastor does is manipulate you for offerings so that he could fulfill his vision. And people go there and they look up to the pastor. I'm going to play an audio clip too from Randy White, and Randy White tells people that. And people have no respect for the pastors. They want to call the pastor by his first name. Well, why shouldn't you call the pastor by his first name? Like, who is he? If he's John, he's John. If he's John and he's a pastor, he's a pastor. But first, he's still John. He's still like you. He's still like me. We're all trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So God doesn't want us idolizing anybody and putting anybody up on a platform or on a pedestal, because it can fall off. Like this group that worshiped this weird homosexual, you know, drag queen looking guy, they found out that their God was a pervert. And that happens to people in churches too. They find out that their pastor is sometimes a pervert. The guy that they were looking up to, and they were bringing money up and throwing money at his feet or whatever. And I'm wondering now, grown people, educated people, people that have Bibles in this country, going to church and yet believing the lie, believing that you have to buy God off, that God gets mad at you and he won't bless you unless you give him some money. And Rod, in this audio, you'll hear him. He says, well, sometimes I have to come to you like a daddy or a father. And, you know, if I had a father like that, please, I wouldn't want a father like that. That my father, who raised me and went to work every day for me so that my family could have things. And if I went to my father and I said, Dad, I need something, I need this or I need that, and that, my father looked at me and he said, well, the only way you're going to get anything from me is you have to give me some money first. And then when you give me some money and I see that you are worthy of my blessings, then maybe I'll do something for you. I mean, my own father, my own earthly father wouldn't treat me like that. So why do we want to believe that God treats us like that? Why? Why do people want to believe that? I don't know. I'm stunned. I'm stunned when I look at the audience at Rod Parsley's place, and he still draws a pretty big crowd over there. I know he doesn't draw as many people as he used to draw, but he still draws a pretty good crowd over there. And yet he has those people just wrapped around his finger. They just do whatever he wants. And even his own daughter, when she talks about him, and I'll play that audio, when she talks about him, she calls him pastor. She doesn't even say dad or daddy. She calls him pastor. It's just ludicrous, honestly. It's like, please, can you please get over yourself? Just get over yourself already. Anyway, let me get back to this, the 10 richest pastors in the world. Now, I'm not sure that they have this correct, really, but they said the number 3 richest pastor is Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, and they say he's worth $42 million. Then you have the 4th richest pastor. Now, this is from a Nigerian newspaper. The 4th richest pastor in the world is Creflo Dollar, and it says $27 million, but he's worth more than that because recently he wanted to buy a $60 million airplane. So Creflo is worth more than that. Let's see. Billy Graham. It says the number 5 richest pastor in the world is Billy Graham. $25 million. No, Billy Graham is worth more than that. He's worth more than that. Okay, now here's a picture of T.D. Jakes. This is supposedly the 6th richest. It says $18 million. No. T.D. Jakes is worth more than $18 million. Okay, now the 7th richest pastor in the world is a Nigerian prophet, T.B. Joshua. Prophet T.B. Joshua. He is Nigeria's most powerful, controversial, and philanthropic preacher. He heads the Synagogue Church of All Nations, a congregation he founded in 1987. The Christian minister, faith healer, is a big giver. His humanitarian works include education, healthcare, and rehabilitation programs. He is the owner of Emmanuel TV. Oh, yeah, the Christian television network. Well, that should bring in the money. Now, here's a guy, I know he's got a church in England. It's called Kingsway International Christian Center. It's the largest Pentecostal church in the United Kingdom. His name is Matthew Ashimolowa. Yes, Matthew, rolling in the dough there. Keep those tithes and offerings coming in. And then the 9th richest pastor in the world is from Nigeria, and his name is Chris Okoti. And he was a pop musician, it says. He set up the Household of God Church, one of Nigeria's most flamboyant congregations. He is an automobile lover. Yes, he do with your tithe money. He owns several posh cars, which include a Mercedes S600, a Rolls Royce, a Hummer, and a Porsche. Oh, yeah. It pays to collect those tithes and offerings. Oh, dear. Can you imagine? I mean, this is Nigeria. People are walking. They don't even have a bicycle, some of these people. They don't have a car. They don't even have a house, some of these people. Yet they go to this church and they're bringing money to this guy who owns Rolls Royces, Porsches, Mercedes, and they don't think anything of it. Where's the Kool-Aid? Where's the Kool-Aid? The Kool-Aid, it's a little thick in there. The Kool-Aid is thick over there. Ugh. Honest. So if you want to see these, if you want to see this article, you can go to the Niger Church News, N-A-I-J-A Church News.com. And this is a, like I said, this is a Nigerian church newspaper. I mean, they have some, they've got some stories going on over here too. One story that they printed talks about a woman who had an affair with her pastor, and they even put a picture of the pastor up there. And then she says, "Well, I had an affair with my pastor, and now I can't love my husband." You know, you can't believe this stuff. You know, what's going on? I don't know. This is the church news. The church news. Yeah. And here's a story from this newspaper. Pastor and his wife arraigned for alleged intimidation. Who did they intimidate? Well, that's interesting. He was arrested for intimidation. What, was he intimidating the people in the church that they better give money or else? Yeah. Yeah. That's like the mafia. You know, you better pay me off. Oh, it says that they were intimidating their neighbor. Wow. Yeah. Well, we see intimidation going on every week. You can turn on so-called Christian television and you see intimidation. You will see intimidation. And you will see stick 'em up or else. Give me your 10% or else you're cursed. And other forms of intimidation and arm twisting, all those things go on. Now, what did Jesus say? Let's listen to Jesus first, and then I'm going to play some of this audio for you. This is what Jesus says, Mark 12:38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. How are you, Reverend Pastor? How are you, Bishop? How are you, Your Eminence? How are you, Prophet so-and-so?" Yeah, they love salutations. Love salutations in the marketplace. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, "Beware of these people. Beware." That's what he said. Let's look at some other things Jesus said, Mark 12:33, "And to love him with all thy heart and with all thy understanding and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Yeah, forget about your burnt offerings and your sacrificial giving. And if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, forget about it. God doesn't even want anything to do with you in that sense, you know, because you have to come to God with a pure heart. You have to come to God with a pure heart. You can't come to God and smack some money down on an altar and say, "Well, I can't wait to get mine because I'm giving this, so I'm going to get something." No, that's not a pure heart. And that's not loving your neighbor as yourself. So like God says, away with all that stuff. I don't even want to know about it. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." 1 John 5:2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah, what about all that Rolls Royces and Porsche? Like I said, I mean, this guy in Nigeria now, and he's not alone. You know, he calls himself a pastor, a shepherd of the sheep. And yet the people in his congregation probably don't have enough food. They don't have a bicycle. They don't have a car. They're living in a hut. Some of them, not everybody, but people do live in huts in Africa. I've been there, and I saw some of the huts. So not everybody does, but some people do. They don't have running water in some instances, or they don't have flushing toilets. And you think that this guy, this pastor, this shepherd of their souls would say, look, one car is enough, okay? I could have one car. The rest, I'm going to help people. I'm going to help people. But no, no, no. And what do you hear? What do you hear on television, on so-called Christian television, in some of these churches? Is that, you know, we have to get money. So the more money we get, the more money we could give away, and the more money we could help people. But doesn't work that way, does it? No, it doesn't work that way. The more money they get, the more money they spend on themselves. Forget about helping people. That's gone by the wayside. Yeah, that's gone by the wayside. Because the Bible says lust is never satisfied, never. And when you lust after the things of this world and you lust after money and you look at people as just a means to an end so that you could get whatever you wanted to get without working for it, no, that's not Christian. That's not Christian. So we've got a long way to go yet before we can finish the Reformation. And I hope my listeners that we choose to finish the Reformation, we choose to tell people the truth about who God really is, that God is our Heavenly Father who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. So God gave His Son as the sacrifice so that we could have life and life more abundantly, which doesn't always mean a life full of possessions. It means peace and joy, and that no matter what we have to go through in this life, that we're going to get through it with God's help, and that He said He would meet our needs according to His riches and glory. He didn't say that you have to pay me off before I meet your needs. He didn't say that, but that's what these pimp preachers tell people. And I want to know why these people don't open their Bible. Why don't they open their Bible and find out what God has to say instead of believing these lying preachers posing as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, let's listen to Rod now here. This is about a 6-minute clip. Let's listen to Rod as he brags about his sign.
I was in church. Gee. With you, that devil, 20 dollars. Never $20. $20, Cameron. Say $20. Whew. Must be close to a million. $20. Well, as a good daddy would do, I'm coming to you, and I shared that with you about that testimony, which is what Elder Gamoon did also. He shared two beautiful testimonies with you. I've shared another one with you. I've given you instruction of how to get angels operating in your life. Now I'm coming at you. Now I'm coming at you. Like a family. Now, you can tell that, you know, this is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. It's like that part in your Bible that says, husbands, love your wife. Somebody asked me, how do you know the Bible is the Word of God? Because nobody would have written that. Wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. Tell me who would have written that. A husband. Well, who would have written, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church? Maybe a woman, but not a man. So you hemmed in both ways. So it must be God. Must be God. And so, like a family, I just want to say to you, summer sometimes, I would never do this on this Sunday of the month, because it's the last Sunday of the month. And so, unfortunately, so many believers don't believe a lot and don't say a lot. Therefore, they live 1 week to the next, and they and toward the end of the month, they're about out. But I found out I can't do things when I feel it's right. I have to do things when I feel directed of the Holy Spirit. And I am today. I am today. And it's more about obedience than anything else. I don't know if you noticed on the way in here, but that big beautiful sign out there is black on both sides. The reason for that is it took a lightning strike. And I said, well, that's nothing. Just, you know, have the people come in and fix it. Then I got the bill. Most of you may not have even been here when we purchased that sign. It cost $240,000. We paid cash for it. God blessed us to do that. And now it needs repair. And the repair is not $15, you know. And then this morning, they told me also that two of our biggest air handling, heating, and cooling units are gone. Those are about $20,000 a piece. We have 140 of them, right? And it's the end of the summer, and so folks have been on vacation and so on and so forth. So I'm just going to ask you today, for a $20 seed above what you're doing right now, so we can fix the sign and the air conditioners. That's all. I'm asking you for that. Now, you're supposed to look at me and go, $20, that's not much. Oh, yeah, $20. You say, I really can't sell $20. So $200. So $10. So $5. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you. You have things that go out at your house, and this is God's house, and it's pretty big, 500,000 square feet under one roof. It's bigger than most malls in this city. And every now and then things go bad, and, you know, we need to strike back at the devil when lightning hits our sign. It didn't hit, what's that place down the road, Elvira's or something like that, where Debbie Joyce goes and wins all the dancers to Jesus. What's that? Rachel's, yeah. The lightning didn't hit Rachel's sign, it's still. But God's sign out here black. Amen. Don't you hold a laugh at me. God's good, isn't he? Now wait, I want you to just write out that 20. I want you to assign some angelic intervention toward that seed. You got a child at school, if you've got somebody attacked in that body, if you've got a need that you need God to supply, if you've got some seed in the ground that you haven't seen the harvest of yet, while we receive this, I want you to direct angels into that situation. Is everybody ready? You don't mind me talking like a dad to you every now and then, do you? Hey, I heard. Don't you turn me off. That lens I'm looking at you through costs $75,000. So today. Elkhart, wake up. So today. $20. Amen. You believe God will bless you?
Amen.
Well, I don't think you've convinced the person next to you. Do you?
Now, can you believe that people actually go to that place and they sit there, smart, well-dressed people, hard-working people with children and families, and yeah, they go over there and they listen to this braggart brag all about all his blessings. He's so blessed that he doesn't even have money to fix his sign, okay? No, he doesn't have money to fix his sign, no. And also, he doesn't even have any extra money to fix his air conditioners. No, he doesn't. No. He wants everybody, and notice, he wants everybody to give $20, and he says that, now make sure that when you get this money ready, that you assign an angel. I didn't know that I could do that. Gee, I didn't know that if I paid $20, then it gave me the right to assign an angel. Okay, he says that you can assign an angel for angelic intervention. Notice he said if you had a child in school or you have a sick relative, or $20. With $20, you could do all that. So I didn't know that angels needed any money. Can anybody show me a scripture? Does anybody know where that scripture is that says angels need some money? And then now we have to pay angels off. Yeah. People are going over there. They're dancing, they're singing, they're jumping up and down, they're clapping. It's offering time, blessing time, yay! And all they're doing is being fleeced over there. That's all. All they're doing is that they're being hypnotized to follow this liar named Rod Parsley and his family. Miss Joni, you ought to be embarrassed that you even sit there with a straight face. And his daughter, Ashton, his poor daughter, who looks like she's having a nervous breakdown. She went from having purple hair to blue hair. Now she has green hair. And she says that she is the leader in charge. She's in charge of Valor Bible College. The girl with the green hair. And she had some kind of a cape on Sunday, a black cape with this pants outfit. I don't know. Ashton, you're in trouble. Ashton's in trouble. She's in trouble. I think she's having a nervous breakdown. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit of Ashton. And notice Ashton calling her mother Miss Joni. Now she calls her mother Miss Joni, and she calls her father Pastor. That's called. I don't know. Do you think at home she calls her father Pastor? Do you think so? Do you think at home she calls her mother Miss Joni? Oh, please.
But your father, Pastor. But we put together just a little basket of all things 1960s, everything that came out the year that you were born, to celebrate you and tell you that we love you. So one more time, let's wish Miss Joni, our First Lady, a very, very happy birthday. And many, many, many more. And at this time, you can remain standing. Pastor, you know how Pastor does sometimes. Even though this is a day where we are celebrating Miss Joni, he had a special request for Miss Lisa and the worship team. So we're just going to worship a little bit together, then we're going to introduce Pastor Parsley just for a few more moments, and then we'll all head out to our afternoon of plus events, Miss Joni's favorite things at Steak and Shake in Victory Park. Come and hang out with us. But right now, let's just worship together. Amen. I love my Valor students. My name is Ashton Parsley, and I'm the first daughter here at World Harvest Church Columbus and Elkhart, and I'm also the Director of Student Life at Valor Christian College, the School of the Spirit. And as you heard in the video, this week, not today actually, but on Wednesday, we are celebrating Miss Joni's birthday. Can you let our First Lady know how much we love her, we honor her, we thank her for all that she does behind the scenes. We thank her for teaching us that we are at our best when we are serving. Amen. And if she's an example of anything, it's servitude. And she is the best Christian that I know. And she's such an incredible example to all of us. Amen. So we have just a little something we put together. Now, I am gonna tell on you here a little bit, because Miss Joni was born at the turn of the decade in 1960. She looks pretty good for her age, doesn't she? I'd say my dad did real, real, real good. Lord knows that love is blind.
I guess so. Yikes. Notice, that's Ash, and she's the first daughter there. She's the first daughter. I didn't know that there was such a title as first daughter. And she calls her Miss Joni, calls her mother Miss Joni, and Pastor Parsley. Why can't she say Dad? I don't know. When I talk to my father, I call him Dad. Why can't she just say Mom? My mom. No, Miss Joni. Please. And I don't know. Did they celebrate everybody's birthday over there? Or just Miss Joni and Rod and the first family? Are they the only ones that get presents on their birthday? Yeah, probably. Now, I remember this one church I went to. On my birthday, I never got anything on my birthday. I didn't even get a happy birthday, but the pastor, he got a boat. Along with all his birthday offerings and his pastor appreciation day and his salary and his housing allowance and his car allowance. He got a boat on his birthday. And the pastor's wife, she got a baby grand piano for her living room on her birthday. I didn't even get a card. I don't know. How about y'all? Does anybody ever remember your birthday? I don't know. Like, why do these people think they're so important? I don't know. But people love it. They go and they applaud and they empty out their checkbooks and they assign angels and Rod can't be Rod. You know, he's got to be Pastor. And Miss Joni can't be Joni. She's got to be Miss Joni. And how do they sit there with a straight face? Because Ashton knows that, you know, her mother and father are hypocrites. She knows it. She knows it. That's why she's got green hair and purple hair and blue hair. And, you know, she's cracking up because she knows there's two sides to the story and she can't take it. But she has to get up there and she has to act because she wants to inherit that place if her father dies. She's going to inherit that, so she has to act, because if she doesn't act, she might have to go out and work somewhere else for a normal salary instead of probably making $100,000 a year over there or something like that, because she's the first daughter. She's the first daughter there, so she's not going to give that all up just to tell people the truth. Like, she probably goes home and screams, or when she rides in her car, she probably screams because I can't stand this. My family is fake and phony, and all this is fake and phony, and I have to pretend. I don't know. Like, how could parents do that to their child, number one, that they put their daughter through that, living a lie, a farce, when she knows that the only reason her father has anything is because he's a pickpocket and a con artist. Not because he earns an honest living and he preaches the gospel and lives by faith. Like, Ashton knows that her father doesn't live by faith. Ashton knows her father's a con artist. She knows it. She's not stupid. So, like, how do you do that to your kid? You don't even love your own child, Miss Joni over there and Pastor Parsley. You don't even love your own children. So how do you expect to love the people of God? Okay, let's listen now. Now you're going to hear some whoppers. You're going to hear some big whoppers here from Randy White. Remember, Randy's kind of a has-been now, but he was married to Paula White at one time, and Paula dumped him. And when she found out the ship was sinking over there in Tampa, the place was going bankrupt. And they blew. Now, these people are supposed to be so smart, Paula White, the God Whisperer. You know, Paula, the God Whisperer, that she's whispering to presidential candidates. And but they blew through millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. They went from living in a mansion, riding around in their own private jet. Now she flies commercial. And I don't know, I don't even know if Randy can afford to fly anymore. Anyway, they had to sell their mansion. Their two churches went bankrupt. One was sold at a foreclosure auction. They've both been bulldozed. But that's the saga of Randy. But who does Randy blame? Randy White blames the Tampa Tribune for his troubles. He says the Tampa Tribune wrote lies about him, 40 newspaper articles full of lies. But he never sued the newspaper. Now, if somebody was lying about me and I was a public figure and it was ruining my reputation, I would certainly file a lawsuit for defamation. But Randy White never did that. He never filed any lawsuit against the Tampa Tribune. And you can look up those stories that they did. They're all available online, all the investigative reporting that they did on the true story of what was going on there at Without Walls, Without Morals, church, so-called, of Randy and Paula White. And he says that the newspaper went bankrupt because they touched God's anointed, which is him, that they actually had the nerve to write newspaper stories about him that were all lies. And God's judgment came upon the newspaper, and God made them go bankrupt because they touched the anointed one, Randy White, who now has a church on the same block as a strip club over there in Tampa. And it has a small congregation. But at one time, remember, I don't know if any of you have ever read the stories about Without Walls Church in Tampa, where they claimed that they had 20,000 members at this church at one time. Well, I've been to the church. I was at the church a few times. Went once for a memorial service for a lady that I knew that was being held there. And not that I was a member. No, I didn't go to that church. I didn't really care for the Whites, and I wouldn't drive all the way to Tampa anyway to go there, except I visited this one time. And there was probably maybe, I would say, 4,000 seats maybe in the church. I'm not sure exactly how many people the church could seat. It looks like maybe it could seat 4,000. Well, they claimed that they had a congregation of 20,000. Well, they were not holding five services on Sundays to seat the 20,000. So I knew it was a lie. I knew they never had 20,000 people at their church. Well, Randy finally admits it here. You'll hear on this audio that they, instead of saying the exact membership of their church, they used to count. He claims they had 120 outreach ministries. How can you have 120 outreach ministries? How is that even possible? But he claims that all the people that came to be fed and clothed, and they came for these outreach ministries, he included them as members of his church. So that's how he rationalized saying that he had 20,000 members at one time. Now he might have 500. I don't think he even has 500 now, but he might. Anyway, here you listen to Randy White now and his lies, one lie after another. But he blames the Tampa Tribune.
Got an award for selling newspapers, but guess what? That newspaper went bankrupt today because I believe you touch not the anointed and you do the prophet no harm. And you have to understand, this is not Randy White's church. This is the church of Without Walls you to this church. Give God a shout of praise if you're with me. I'm making it fast now. So we went from there, and then from there we went to the warehouse. I don't have time to tell it. Then we went to the dome, and then we went to the tent. And from the tent, you know the rest of the story of how God just began to grow us. And look, look, at one time we were the fastest growing church in the nation. Did you hear what I said? The fastest growing church in the nation. Now, how can that happen? Because they allowed us to use all of our 240 outreaches as also members of our church. So everyone we were reaching in the streets was considered a member of our church. Y'all not with me. Because membership is not just about these here, but it's about the people that we're touching outside of the four walls of the church. I wish somebody would help me in this place today.
I wish somebody would help you too. Be sure need
it. But the devil, and here's where I want to go right now, if you'll give me just two more minutes. But the devil was not going to idly sit by,
no,
as Mark plays, and let us build a church that tears down racism.
Whoa. No.
He wasn't going to let us build a church that says a black man and a white man, brown man, can all come to church together.
Really?
And that you have to be segregated on Sunday morning. He wasn't going to let us build that church.
No.
He wasn't going to let us build a church where we were taking care of the poor and needy.
No.
He wasn't going to let us take a church where we were reaching the juvenile delinquents and going into the prisons and had adoption agency. He wasn't going to allow us to do that without a fight. Look at me.
No.
Look at me. You've seen people move before. Look at me. You're hearing what I'm saying?
No.
The devil strategically, according to Ephesians 6, he waits for that right moment to capitalize. He'll let you get all the success you need until you forget and begin to neglect the things that got you to where you are. The fasting and the praying, I was too busy. My spouse, who I taught to preach, because she did not know how to preach. I taught her how to preach. And every Saturday, I would teach her, this is how you do it. This is the word. 66 books in here. You have the Old Testament, the New Testament. This is what you do in the pulpit. This is proper etiquette. This is how you handle it. You always greet the pastor. Dress properly. You always recognize the pastor's wife. All the little things, you don't call them by their first name. All the things that people have forgotten today in the ministry. I took and I taught and I taught and I drove it into her until that ministry took off and it blossomed, because I said, if you find this, find this, you find that, you'll never work a day in your life. You will die the most happiest person ever if you find this. You find that. That's what I taught her. And I said, you have a niche. I said, you're white, but you preach black. Don't anybody get offended unless you're prejudiced. It is what it is. And I said, we need to hook you up. So we hooked up. And suddenly, she was going this way. We were going this way. I was staying here. Then I was traveling. And the devil will get you weary and well still doing. What a word, what a word, what a word, what a word. What a word.
Yeah, you wrote
it. What a word.
Yeah, you wrote it.
You will get so tired. And I remember it, getting up at 4 a.m., even though we were flying private jets, you still have to get on the plane. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
No.
You have to get up early to be in Los Angeles because you got to preach, and then when you got to finish preaching, you got to get on another plane and preach in the afternoon, and then when you're finished there, you got to preach in the evening, and then you finally you get home around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, only to wake up at 7 a.m., and then you got to start the whole routine over again. And you're doing it all for God. You're doing it all for the ministry. And souls are being saved. But you're getting weary. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the fight. So watch and I'm done. So in the midst of all this greatness in magazines, television programs, you name it, church filled, most of you remember. One split after another split, only to crush a pastor's heart. Until you're a pastor, you don't know. But it's like having your child ripped away from you. You don't know what that feeling is. And the devil said, we've done everything we can do, so God, he still hasn't cursed you. He's still praising you. So let down the hedge. Is it making sense now? And he'll curse you to your face. So God allowed the hedge to get a little lower. Listen! The enemy attacked my body physically. To where I had to take time off. I had to get my mind straight because my daughter dies in my arms. And it wasn't two years later that their mother then dies in my house. And all this is happening while yet all this is going on. Nobody understands because you can't get up and you can't be real with people because they have their own hurts. They have their own pain. So you can't bleed on sheep. Shepherd has to be strong. Shepherd has to have the now word. But I'm done, I'm done, I'm done for today. But you can't miss it next week. I'm going to bring you up to speed. But if you remember, Moses' hands were up. And as long as his hands were lifted, they won the battle. But his hands got weary. And when his hands got weary, Joshua and Ur, come to both of you. Joshua and Ur had to come. And they had to lift the man of God's hands. And as long as they lifted his hands, Israel could see our leader still has the victory. He may be weary, but he's not giving up. Come on, somebody. He may be tired, but he's not giving in. He may be lied about, but he not defended himself. I wish somebody would help me in this place. And then I begin to feel the strength coming back into me. I wish I had a church that understood.
Yeah.
He says this in conclusion. Be not weary in well-doing. So I'm doing well, but weary. And when you get weary, you make mistakes.
Now, notice. I mean, don't you feel sorry for that guy? Maybe we should send him an offering. You know, that's pitiful, really. And notice Randy White, he says that he taught Paula everything she knows. He taught her everything. And, you know, Paula White's one of the biggest gospel con artists going. He also says that he taught Paula how to dress. I don't know, Randy. I've seen some of Paula's pulpit attire. I don't think so. I mean, if you taught her how to dress, that's somewhat pitiful, I would say, because Paula wears low-cut dresses when she preaches. These skin-tight dresses. I don't know, Randy, you weren't a very good teacher. You weren't a very... Randy, you weren't a very good teacher because you and Paula, you went through probably $50 million, maybe more. You blew it. You blew it. You wound up bankrupt. You wound up with foreclosed properties. You wound up in a little building, a moldy building I visited one Sunday, a little moldy building you wound up in after you lost everything. So, Randy, I don't think so. I think you need to go back to school, Randy, because you're not a very good teacher. You're not a very good teacher. And, you know, you're blaming the Tampa Bay Times, the Tampa Tribune. Blaming the Tampa Tribune for a lot of your problems. Well, they didn't have access to your bank account. I don't think the Tampa Tribune had access to your bank account. I don't think so. I think that you and Paula were the ones that messed up your bank account. I think it was you, Randy. I think it was you, Randy, that got caught drunk driving. There's a mugshot of you on the internet for your DWI. I don't think it was the Tampa Tribune that stopped you on the road. I don't think it was the reporter from the Tampa Tribune that said, "There's Randy White driving down the road. Let me call the police to give him a ticket for drunk driving." I don't think it was the Tampa Tribune. I don't think it was the Tampa Tribune that put you in rehab for your drug addiction. No, it wasn't the Tampa Tribune that did that, was it? No, I don't think so. I don't think it was the devil. The devil, like, he's busy, okay? The devil's busy. So I don't think the devil came to your house and was putting alcohol in your mouth. Like, was it him? Did he come to your house and he was there? He had a bottle and he opened your mouth and he was pouring it in? I don't think so. I don't think it was the devil that was giving you those pills or whatever you were snorting or whatever, however you and Paula blew $50 million. Who knows? I mean, who knows, you know? But, nah, it wasn't the devil. No, it wasn't the devil. The devil's busy. He didn't have time for you, really. You know, you're not that important, Randy. You weren't that important that people know how to get along, okay? They didn't need you and Paula to teach people how to get along, people that are different colors. I know how to get along with people. I didn't need you to teach me how to get along. Like, you know, the devil's not that mad about that because people know how to get along together. Normal Christian people, we know how to love each other. So, no, we didn't need your church to teach people how to come over there to learn. And then the devil didn't want a church that was going to feed the poor and clothe the naked. Well, I happened to be at the Without Walls Church in Lakeland after they abandoned the building. I was there personally, and I saw the ruins. I saw how Randy and Paula White left it. They left garbage all over. They let the church be vandalized for 3 years. The electric was turned off for 3 years because they did not pay their electric bill. The air conditioning systems were vandalized. This was a 9,000-seat church in Lakeland, Florida. They also owned one in Tampa. I saw myself, I was looking in the windows. I saw toys piled high. I saw pictures of two baby grand pianos left to rot in the church. There was a man there the day I went that had been inside the buildings and took photographs, and he had hundreds of pictures, And I sat with him, and he showed me the pictures of communion trays that they left, hundreds of communion trays that they left abandoned there. There was a whole warehouse full of clothing piled from floor to ceiling that he left. Yet he says that it was the devil that wouldn't let them feed the poor and clothe the poor and needy. But yet that's what they left behind in Lakeland. They could have cared less about the poor and needy. They could have cared less. So you're a liar. You lie. That's why you were brought down. That's why you were brought down. And you're still lying. You're still lying. Why don't you just tell the truth and repent? And then maybe you wouldn't have to be feeling sorry for yourself. And then maybe God could bless you himself instead of lying. Because the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Liars and extortioners. So, get real over here. Let's get real, please. It's like, get a life over there. But anyway, everybody, that's the show for today. Next week, I'm going to have on Michelle McCumber, and she just wrote a new book. A lot of her book deals with, she was on staff at Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. She was an assistant. I think she was. I might be wrong, but I think she was a personal assistant to Frances Swaggart. She was also designed her website. And then she spent some time over at Rick Joyner's ministry in North Carolina. She was there for quite a while, involved in these prophetic so-called anointing over there. Anyway, she wrote a book, and she will be sharing that next week. So it should be a very, very good program. Anyway, I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you for coming by. But remember, the most important thing is repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask Jesus to come into your life and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Also, read the book of Romans. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Let God give you a brand new life today. He will forgive you no matter what you've done, no matter what it is. God will forgive you, and he will forget about it, and he will give you a brand new life, and you can put the past behind you today too. So let's be people of God. Let's read the word. The banner over us is love, and we tell people the truth. We preach the gospel without guile. We preach the truth of the gospel, and Jesus said that he came to set us free, to make us free, and we want to stay free, amen? So let's stay free of greedy preachers. God bless you all today, and I'll see you next week, okay? Bye-bye.